My name is Captain Seth Rivetta, and I am today's host for another episode of Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center, Fort Irwin, California. Today, I'm excited to have select members from the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment here to discuss why Black Horse wins. I'm also very excited to have Colonel Stephen Capehart, the commander of Operations Group, as a co-host today. We're lucky to have the 70th Regimental Commander, Colonel Timothy Ferguson, and two troop commanders, Captain Roman Burke of Cold Steel Troop and Captain Ethan Christensen of Easy Troop. I would like to extend a very fine allons to each of you, and thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Seth, for that introduction. Tim, thank you for taking the time today. Very excited to be able to have this conversation with some of the best troopers in the land. So let me start off by asking, what is your background, and did that help you in preparing to become the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment commander?
Well, Steve, Outlaw, it's awesome to be here. Much allons to you and to those that will be listening to this today. In terms of some of my background, I'd only ever been a rotational unit prior to my assignment here as the commander. So how did that prepare me? I was very much humbled many, many times by the regiment in this desert, and it's a lot of fun to be on the other side now and to see everything that goes into putting these rotations together. I did some rotations as a junior officer and then as a battalion commander, and every time I was super impressed by the amount of learning that I was able to do because of what Black Horse was able to do to us out in the desert.
And so I think that's a great way to start the conversation. As the commander of operations group, I get an excellent sideline seat to see the fights between the rotational unit and Black Horse. And clearly Black Horse has a home field advantage because, I mean, you're fighting in your own backyard. And so in some of your observations as a regimental commander, what are some of the ways that you really plan against the rotational unit and leverage that advantage?
So I think it really does start with, the terrain and understanding the terrain and how to use that to our advantage. We are out in the box in the desert every single month. And even when we're not in rotation, we're out in the box training and learning what that terrain means to us and what it means to a formation that's trying to maneuver against us. So it comes down to a lot of, the repetitions and the sets and the ability to understand that and then be able to overlay live troopers and enablers equipment against that terrain to try and drive action.
I have conversations with the RTU all the time of, hey, I've got to beat Black Horse. I've got to get in position before they get in position. And at the end of the day, what I often coach is, hey, they live here. And so where you'll LD at the same time for a cavalry fight, they know where they're going to go. They know the terrain. And so don't waste that planning energy to say, hey, I'm going to beat them into position, because in reality, they don't. And so I think that's a great observation about the use of terrain. We often see the rotational unit have a difficult time combining arms, but Black Horse seems to do it so effortlessly. Can you explain why that's different? Why do you see that within the regiment?
I would say we also come from a position of humility and empathy because we, at being on the home field, there are advantages to that. And the ability to get those multiple execution repetitions every single month, every single time. And though each fight is individually different against every BCT and every, subordinate unit of those BCTs, it's tough. And having been on that other side and listening to, your 07s talk about it, it kind of triggers me. I start to shake a little bit thinking back to when I was a battalion commander out here. And so I think getting that size of a formation, getting all those things moving in the same direction is really, really tough. And so I think, really it's about focusing on the training objectives that you've established as an RTU that help you define that success. And I think sometimes, this is just my observation, that I think they probably get a little bit focused on trying to beat us.
Sure.
And, instead of working on those things that they want to work at to be successful. And if they stay focused on those, every day is a victory out here in the desert for them.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And we see operations group side, if they're heavily focused, and that winning spirit matters. But however, if you cannot set conditions by warfighting functions, if you can't really understand the vernacular in position, ready to fire, sustain, collect, etc., it doesn't matter. And so I think that is such a great observation, because we also see that where, hey, I just want to be able to find Black Horse and I want to destroy him. Well, that's great. And however, you have to be able to synchronize your formation in order to do that. So I think that's a great observation as well. Hey, so let's go to some troop commanders. Ethan, Roman, thank you so much for being here today. I'll throw a really kind of an open net, and Ethan, I'll start with you, and then Roman, you can kind of pile on. How does getting the extra reps and sets that Colonel Ferguson just described help you leverage that experience to beat, a force that outguns you and out has additional capabilities that you don't have?
Yes, sir. So we start with a car every single phase. From the car, we go back to our troops and conduct TLPs, and it's rehearsed to the point that we understand the end state and the mission intent and are given the freedom to execute with confidence. By the time that we are ready to execute, we've rehearsed the plan to the point that our individual crews understand what they're empowered to do, and they're able to get it done, as you described, sir, just because they know the terrain well. Additionally, sir, I can't talk about Task Force Reaper enough. The intelligence that we're able to get down to the trooper level, like in this last rotation, we were able to get individual battle positions, 10-digit grids for that fight. And so that level of detail enables us to really get after the fight, understand what we're seeing, and make final refinements even as we're moving to the flat.
I think you highlight two things that we coach as operations group. So you mentioned your CAR, your combined arms rehearsal, and how critical that is. And I think Black Horse has almost a mastery level of how you do combined arms rehearsals. That synchronizes every element of the warfighting function. But more importantly, your outputs of that rehearsal work its way all the way down to the tactical edge. And traditionally in ops groups, sometimes we will do that CAR and it will almost be a measure of performance. We did it, but all those refinements and changes will not get down to the tactical edge. And Black Horse does that extremely well. Additionally, you mentioned graphics. That is something traditionally we also don't see from the operations group side, is we will conduct the orders process. We'll be able to create all the warfighting products. But once again, it never gets down to the tactical edge. And so Black Horse just does it extremely well. And it's something for all of us to really follow. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't reference kind of how Black Horse trains, because that's just the basics of being able to fight. And so y'all do it extremely well. Roman, I'll kind of give you the net. What are your thoughts?
Gentlemen, I think the reps and sets that we get here as commanders, it truly enables that mission command mindset. I get more chances to evaluate my formation, see where my capabilities and limitations lie within my leaders, within my equipment, and then apply that to what are normally pretty complex problems at the National Training Center that my counterparts over in the rotational unit might get maybe one or two chances to execute before they come out here. And I do it multiple times a rotation and multiple rotations every year.
I mean, so if we had to boil it down, and so Tim, I'll kind of give this back to you. If we had to boil this down to the three things that drive success at the regiment, what would they be?
It's an understanding of the terrain. It's the ability to communicate. We exercise our pace across all four of them and are very good at it because it's about practice. A lot of things, I think, you always talk about systems and processes and people.
Yeah.
And we get those repetitions. We can fail at things, and it might be in that phase. Well, we've got the next phase to try and get better, or the next rotation. So the mission command as well. These troop commanders who are fighting as battalion commanders, they don't have staffs or anything like that. They are empowered to make decisions. The trust is there from the BTG commander to them to go out there and be successful. And the last one I would say is Miles' lethality. and just getting after that and understanding that.
You know, you bring up Miles, and we as operations group constantly coach that with rotational unit, that you can have the best plan in the world. It can be synchronized across all warfighting functions. You can execute every level of rehearsal. You can have graphics down to the individual, vehicle level. But if you can't kill with Miles, it does not matter. Black Horse does that extremely well. And so it's interesting when we talk to the RTU a lot, a rotational unit, how many times are you bore sighting a day? So on average, so Ethan, let's go, as a troop commander or now replicating that battalion level, how many times do you bore sight a day during a fight?
At a minimum, we do morning and night every time, obviously based on operational tempo. Sometimes we may skip whatever, but it is the standard across Legion, no matter what's going on.
Yeah, and that's the discipline I think Black Horse also has. I think something else from operations group perspective, Black Horse esprit de corps and the drive to win, right? We talk about how that winning spirit matters, both from the rotational unit and Black Horse, but there has not been a fight that I've observed as the COG that you don't feel that esprit de corps. You know, so Seth, I haven't really gone to you. You've been in the ops group for a long time. What have you seen from an observer controller?
Some of the trends that we see, specifically on the Scorpion team, is that down at the company or troop level, depending on who we're OCing at the time, they do not have those graphics down to the lowest level, down to the tactical edge, if you will. And that does lead to a little bit of confusion when they are trying to fight through a very solid Black Horse defense, or when they're trying to go into any urban operation. They kind of understand what was there about 12 hours ago, before the operation started, but they don't have the latest and greatest. And I think Black Horse is able to exploit that, just changing how much they have arrayed in the urban operations between what they anticipate the last known intel snapshot and when the RTU is actually in operation.
So that's a great pivot. And so when we talk about what is the one major thing that you've been able to exploit over and over again in each fight, I'll go to Black Horse 6 kind of for your thoughts, and then I'll go to Ethan Roman.
In terms of that overall kind of assessment, again, each fight is different. Each each BCT is different. And I'm not saying about armor or SBCT, but each personality of each brigade is different. What I think is very powerful as these, you know, MIBIN commanders and the BTG try to shape, synchronize, and present shared understanding is that they can look at a problem and kind of anticipate and fill in the gaps very easily. Because again, they go back to the understanding of terrain. How would I fight this? How have I fought this? And so even if, you know, weather is driving our ISR down and we're not really getting the look, we can still fill that gap and kind of anticipate where that fight's going to occur, where to position forces, where we're going to be pressed, where we need to bring enablers to bear. So I think it's that holistic, just kind of, again, it goes back to that home field advantage. And, you know, our U.S. Army, we don't want to be fighting at home. And so we are expeditionary. We think we're going to be fighting somewhere else. So that's going to be natural. Bringing that kind of understanding to bear is, I think, very, very important.
So, Roman, let's kind of pivot and let's talk about the combined arms breach. We see it with every rotational unit. What is that one thing that you've been able to exploit over and over again when it comes to the combined arms breach?
Breaches are hard. Combining arms, that's a very complex operation. That is generally followed in a certain sequence. And knowing what that sequence is for that rotational unit, it becomes very easy to disrupt it by creating visual signatures that you might see on the battlefield. For example, a deception smoke target where a company commander just like me who is tired, who knows that he just needs to move forward and get through that obstacle that's as soon as he sees the smoke start to billow.
I've seen that every time. Smoke comes in and they automatically think it's where you're committing, especially over, I mean, every rotation this year. That smoke deception is so essential. And of course, I know what you're doing when I see it. And I'm like, ah, there it is. However, that rotational unit sees it. And now that forces them to really, are they executing a branch? Are they going to execute a SQL? Let me also, Roman, let me stay on this and kind of, when you look at the combined arms breach, what are you really going after from an indirect fire, direct fire perspective? Are you worried about where the Abrams and the Bradleys are? Or what are you really trying to go after?
What I'm looking for during a combined arms breach, and I think it goes down to that understanding at the trooper level, unique pieces of equipment that are on a high payoff target list or a high value target list. The breaching assets, the reduction assets. If I've got only so many rounds to use indirect fire, I'm not going to use it on the Bradleys or the tanks that are in the support by fire. I'm probably going to use it on the reduction assets or at the point of breach itself to try and disrupt that sequencing like we talked about earlier.
One last thing for the breach, right? And so as Black Horse, can you tell when the rotational unit is becoming unraveled in a combined arms breach?
Absolutely.
And do you exploit it? And what are some of the things that you as Black Horse see that you're like, you know what? I'm going to exploit this.
There are very long unexplained pauses in the movement of their units, and you start to see the traffic jams. You start to see rear elements occupy terrain that may already be occupied by one of the maneuver units, and everybody will start to gravitate towards specific pieces of terrain. Those are some pretty heavy indicators. And then I stop being shaped, if I was being shaped at all. The smoke runs out. I'm no longer feeling effects of indirect fire, if any at all. And that usually starts to initiate that counterattack mentality of now the pressure has alleviated. It is my opportunity to reapply pressure to the brigade.
I would say from operations group, we coach a lot about terrain management. Right, especially in a combined arms breach, and then those triggers that are connected with either support force, breach force, assault force. But when the smoke stops, when the suppression and the obscuration stops, it's almost this aha moment for the rotational unit, because now what I always see as the cog is all of a sudden now Black Horse has an opportunity, and I'm coming after you. I think y'all do that extremely well, and those are great observations. Ethan, let's kind of pivot and let's talk about urban operations. What is the one thing that you've seen over and over again that you exploit?
Our flexibility allows us to exploit, I think, through the enemy's intel read. They understand where we probably were about 12 hours prior to the fight. Understanding that we try to drive home to the lowest level, we occupy hides right up until the last minute for us to occupy our battle positions that we'll actually fight from in urban terrain. We'll do that. And through exploiting their ability to get on the objective, but then start to exploit the seams, and that delay in intel read allows us to trit them inch by inch as we continuously retrograde from any positions that we currently occupy.
I'll pull on that thread. When you talk about one thing Black Horse does extremely well, right? When you look at a defensive position, whether it's an urban environment or tied into terrain, your primary, alternate, and subsequent positions, and your hide, you will wait until conditions are set by the warfighting functions to commit. And additionally, what Black Horse does, they'll get into their primary positions and then they will continue to move. They will continue to bound. And we coach that for the rotational unit is what is that transition? Because that's what it is from your hide and what's being driven for you to move into those positions. But more importantly, once you get in it, you're just not going to stay there forever. It's always illuminating for us as the critters of the desert to be able to watch it because we see your actions. And not a day that goes by that we don't coach and then say, hey, look at how Black Horse has maneuvered and to use that terrain, whether it's an urban environment or whether it's tied into to key terrain. I think when you kind of put all this together and a lot of the topics that we've talked about today, it really comes down to the basics. Black Horse does the basics extremely well. Additionally, you know, when you look from the regimental commander has defined what those basics are. And I think that's what the rotational unit often learns at the National Training Center. We say, hey, we're going to be really good at the basics. But what Black Horse does is you define it and then you train on it over and over again. What I would offer to the people that are listening today, if you want to become an expert in warfighting, come to Black Horse. That's all Black Horse does. This fight in the desert almost 10 times a year.
Hey, sir. So having the opportunity to talk to both Roman and Ethan prior to the podcast, I've learned that both of them have felt pressure to the point where they thought they were going to have a harder fight than they ended up having. And they were effectively able to use a delay to eventually gain that advantage again. So I would like to just pull on that thread a little bit. Roman first and then Ethan. Were able to effectively use a delay when they were on their heels and then regain the advantage.
An American Brigade Combat Team is an immensely powerful organization. And when it is brought to bear against you, even if you have every enabler, all of your combat power is still in the fight, you really do feel the pressure. You do feel what it is like to come under the guns of the most modern battle tank in the world, well-trained infantry, throw in some Apaches into the mix. It can be intensely stressful. There's been a number of times where the rotational unit was on the verge of reaching their decisive point. One of the considerations is an organization as powerful and as large as a BCT, it is very hard to keep that synchronization over time. And I think something that Ethan and I do very well is even if you are feeling the pressure, time is on your side in the defense, especially when you are fighting against a brigade. When was the last time they refueled? When are their Apaches going to go off station? When are their guns going to have to jump from their PAAs? I think if you can stay in the fight and if your troopers understand the little things that they can do to stay in the fight, sometimes that's winning. And an opportunity may present itself. You have the opportunity to not just retrograde, but maybe reoccupy some key terrain that may be forward of your current position, and you trust the lethality of that formation, you can overcome some pretty tremendous pressure. And the rotational unit can do it too. We've brought a lot of the regiment's enablers to bear against single platoons of tanks, of brads that knew how to conduct engagement area development, who had good fallback positions, were able to fight for time, and eventually our smoke will run out too. Our Sokol will go off station. That is something that I urge every maneuver leader to understand. It's not just synchronizing in that exact moment where you think you need it, but be able to fight for time.
It's also initiative, right? I mean, so the rotational unit, you know, when you look at it, if they can see that opportunity developing in front of them, once again, being on the sideline in this operations group, I can tell when they're having that pressure onto you. But I think it comes down to the initiative that Black Horse has. And you look at the decentralized command and control. And I think that's where we have to continue to train with the rotational units is that if you see that opportunity, go, right? And so a lot of times we become almost in a paralysis state. And I think that's what we have to, and we continue to coach it here is if you see that opportunity, go. And then that just applies that pressure. Because I always say, I can give the answers to the test as the cog. I can give you answers. This is exactly how Black Horse is going to fight. However, you have to do it. And you have to see those opportunities. And that's what's just amazing about the National Training Center is that all of that is exposed. And that's also so honest assessment as a moving commander that, hey, you can put the same pressure on to me and I will have to have different decision points. So that's awesome.
I would also offer that in terms of seeing those opportunities, we see them and we wonder if they're going to seize that opportunity. And that's where we're going to throw something else out there to try and divert their attention, to try and put some doubt in that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, and that might be, you know, like Roman was talking about a smoke target that we just throw out there just to kind of throw some confusion and slow them down and help us buy more time.
Yeah.
But he's absolutely correct. There is pressure on every single fight. And you just kind of are waiting for that. Where will things begin to unravel for them? What can we do to help unravel that? But if they're able to see that, there are many opportunities out there for them to have a lot of success.
I just think back to my first rotation working with Roman, and we were sitting up on the northern wall looking at Hill 720 as the RTU crossed over the wet gap for the first time. And I just remember looking at Roman, and that was the first time I felt that pressure. And the amount of combat power massing on the rear of that terrain feature, I was getting ready to pick up the box phone and that sort of thing. But I think, as you said, sir, we always know that we've got something in our back pocket. Having the box phone is unique to us, sir, as it makes our organization.
What's the box phone? Can you explain that?
Yes, sir. So a box phone is a regular cell phone that we all carry, but it's on an internal network to the NTC. So that way it can be exploitable to any RTU that picks them up. And it is our kind of replication of cell network in the box, sir. But that allows our organization to be very flat as well. So in the fight, if it really comes down to it, and I remember deliberately asking Roman, do I need to make this call right now? We can get on the phone, talk to Colonel Ferguson. We can talk to ARSCO. We can talk to Task Force Reaper and get how much combat power is behind. If we have the Gray Eagle up, sir, what are we looking at behind this? We can handle this, but we only have so many rounds left with fires. We can't attrit them. We've already used our smoke. We've already used
your special munitions.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But understanding that allows us to have some tactical patience. With that being said, it's still a challenge to get our individual crews to have that same level of tactical patience.
I'll pull the thread. One of the myths of Black Horse from a rotational unit is that you are unlimited. Unlimited with artillery. Unlimited with smoke. I mean, so Tim, are you all unlimited or do you follow a process in a doctrinal model?
We follow a process. We follow a threat model. We are limited in every all the effects that we're trying to achieve against that as well. And we have to be very deliberate. I will say, when we talk about one of those myths is that, operations group just gives the plan to Black Horse and tells them what's to go. The good thing is ops group is looked at by both RTU and Black Horse as the enemy. But no, they do a tremendous amount of planning at the BTG level, and they are delving into the details. There is no free chicken. They have got to be very deliberate with their assets. They've got to know it, and they have to build in for the contingencies. And so that's where, like, when a Mibbin partnership like Legion with Ethan and Roman are out there and they're fighting, and they're painting that picture to their higher level commander. What other things can I bring to bear to get help shape, throw off, whether it's a deception, get them thinking in a different direction and try to put some desynchronization into what the RTU is trying to accomplish?
Yeah. Another myth from the operations group, since you brought it up, is we're telling you when to do spoiling attacks and counterattacks. That's not true. That's amazing. That's great dialogue.
Sir, I really like the comment that Roman said where they shoot smoke when they know that the RTU is about to do a breach. At what point do you guys potentially exploit a confirmation bias to force the RTU to either act or not act?
The legend of the Black Horse is that the avenue of approach that you least expect is the one that we're going to attack through or exploit. And knowing that and knowing our enemy, the RTU, it kind of opens the door. What is the MD COA that is on that Brigade S2's map? What are those indicators of that most dangerous course of action? And what can I do to occlude what I'm really trying to do? And then also feed in those little crumbs so that Brigade S2 is going to go right to that brigade commander. Sir, the most dangerous course of action. We're about to be enveloped. What can I do? It probably looks something like a smoke screen. It probably looks like requesting that Sokol flies along that avenue of approach, or we commit a deception force into that AOA where it can't possibly be going any other direction, but along this MD COA AOA.
We're also going to use, in terms of when we talk multi-domain, we're going to use that in the EW spectrum.
Yeah.
We're going to use that in terms of other indicators to the BCT besides just the Mark I eyeball,
right,
to try and throw them off as well and try to present that. And so, you and I have had those kind of experiences where we've done something in the, kind of the electronic sphere, yeah, so to speak, and next thing you know, the Apaches are up in the northern corridor, not in the central where they need to be, because
right,
we gave them an indicator. And again, systems, peoples, and processes weren't in position. And so somebody's making a judgment call based on what they think the regiment's going to do. And next thing you know, they're that key enabler is not in position to help shape what they need it for that BCT commander.
Yeah, I think you brought up a great point about starting with the red pin first. So that's what we coach as operations group. Do you truly understand? And go back to the framework. Do you see yourself? Do you see the enemy? Do you see the terrain? And do you start with that red pen and take all that wonderful analysis, right, and data that we receive? And can you get it down to that tactical edge? I mean, so if you start with the red pen, you're going to start seeing, I mean, let's just talk about avenues of approach. Where can I be enveloped by Black Horse? And we coach that every rotation is starting with that red pen. And then how is that connecting to your priority intelligence reports and requirements? And that's something where I think rotational units, if they start with that initial thread of understanding the red pen and then developing their PIRs and then transitioning that now into really their information collection, those opportunities will be there and they'll be able to see it and respond to it before you act on it. So I think that's a great point. I've taken enough of your time today. Tim, thank you so much. And as well as the Mibbin commanders and the whole Black Horse team today. Tim, I'll give it to you for any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners. So I'll give you the net.
We really appreciate this opportunity because at the end of the day, it really is about the BCT. They're coming out here to learn and to be better. And we recognize that they are going to be somewhere potentially where it is a two-way live fire range. And we need to do our very, very best to prepare them for that. And so my CSM likes to say you learn through repetition or traumatic experience. And we're supposed to be your traumatic experience here. Where it is just miles and where you do have the opportunity to get the coaching and the information and the just that what you guys do so well is the critters and help them learning. I would say, you know, again, come in with the attitude of ready to learn. At the trooper soldier level, we on both sides, you want each one just to go fight. Yeah. That's what they want. But I think at those higher levels, how you define victory for yourself is focusing on those training objectives. If you want to get that order out with 2/3 of the time for your subordinate units to be able to do their planning at echelon, that is a huge win. Because I remember I, as a battalion commander, I failed at that all the time. And so I think if you're achieving those, you are checking victory every single day, every single fight, every single phase, and all through the rotation. And we owe you that best training. We owe you that worst day in the desert because our troopers, who are also U.S. soldiers, I mean, we talk about enemy, but you are actually just an adversary for us. They're going to be in your formation one day. And we want to provide you troopers that understand combined arms maneuver and that can get out there and fight and be great for you because we owe that to you. And so we really, really enjoy it. And anything that we can ever do for anyone out there in the force, we're always here to be an asset for you.
Tim, I think those are great comments. And what I would add before kind of closing this out, all of us from Operations Group to Black Horse have been in rotational units. In the desert will expose every element of your plan, of your training. And that's the greatest thing about being assigned either to the Operations Group or the Black Horse, is that all the experiences that you've had throughout your career, there is not a day just like you that goes by that I see some in the desert and I was like, yeah, I failed at that. And so we have that opportunity to continue just to train the force and get them ready for whatever the future lies. And so, I mean, from all of us at the Operations Group, thank you so much for your time. A very fine allance.
Much allance to you.
Much allance to the team. And we'll see you in the next fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Appreciate y'all. Train the force. This is the way.
As always, our observer coach trainers are here to assist units. I invite you to look at our Mill Suite page for the latest products from Operations Group and subscribe to Operations Group Tech Talks on YouTube for short lessons learned on successful techniques. Thank you for listening to Thinking Inside the Box, the Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center.